Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read verse 2, and then we're going to jump down and read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. 2 weeks ago, we thought about good news. Last week, we thought about bad news. This week, how are you going to respond to this news? I'd like you this morning to use your imagination and imagine the following letters came through your door. And you need to think, what would you do? Now, not all of them are going to apply to everybody, but hopefully some of them will. Imagine this letter arrived on your door. It's from Mrs. Jones. And Mrs. Jones' mum and dad are here today, so we do need to be careful what we say. Mrs. Jones, for those of you who don't know, is the head teacher at St. Thomas's Primary School. So imagine if you go to St. Thomas's, or you just put your own school name in place, imagine this letter came, dated the 29th of December. Dear parent, guardian, urgent. This isn't true. Please don't act on it. But due to unforeseen building work, the new term will commence Tuesday, the 14th of January. Parents, what are you going to do? What are we going to do for the next week? Children, what are you going to do? Celebrate, cheer, stay in bed, pajama day every day, go to bed late. How great would that good news report be for you to hear that school's going to be closed for an extra week? All right, how about this one, grown-ups? It's from NatWest Mortgages, or whoever your mortgage is with. Dear mortgage customer, since this is the season of goodwill, we have chosen 100 lucky mortgage customers at random and cleared their mortgage debt. You can tell this is made up, can't you? No bank would ever do that. You will be delighted to hear that you were selected. Please contact your bank and cancel your direct debit to your mortgage account to stop any further payments being made. Wishing you a very happy new year, all from all at NatWest. What would you do? You'd go straight to your bank, wouldn't you, whoever they are, and you would cancel your direct debit. There is no way you are going to keep making those payments. No way that you're going to try and pay a debt that's already been paid. Last one, oh, this looks important, from HM Government, 10 Downing Street. Okay, dear citizen, due to a change in the law, all citizens of the United Kingdom are expected to spend 1 hour per month litter picking on public land near their home. Failure to comply with this law will result in prosecution. First offenders will receive a fine. Repeat offenders will stay at Her Majesty's pleasure in the Tower of London as we review the capital punishment laws. Okay, what are you going to do if you receive that letter? Feet up? Or are you going to start picking up some litter? What's the point of this illustration? When there is a news report, you have a decision to make as to how you are going to act in the here and now. So if the school is closed, that's been reported, you need to decide how you're going to act. If your mortgage has been paid, you need to decide how you're going to act. If the government introduces a new law, how are you going to act? Now, please notice, with all these news reports, you have been told about a condition that now exists. Something has changed, and you need to decide what you're going to do, how you're going to act, how that condition impacts your circumstances in the here and now. Now, over Christmas, we've been thinking about the birth of King Jesus. Quite an obvious thing to think about at Christmas time. And we said how this is good news, bad news, and also news we need to act on. Even though we don't live in Bethlehem, And even though we live about 2,000 years later since the birth of the king, that birth, all those years ago, still impacts each and every one of us today. So what have we said? We said this is good news. Why? Because a leader was born that would shepherd his people. He would stand and shepherd his people in the power and grace of the Lord. What does that mean? It means Jesus came to this earth to teach us, to reveal God to us. But ultimately, he came to die. That's how he came to stand and shepherd his people. The good shepherd, giving his life for his sheep, paying our sin debt, defeating our biggest foe, sin and death. He put himself quite literally in our shoes and paid a debt he didn't owe. That's good news. What can be bad about that? Well, what's bad about that is the fact that Jesus is king. That means you are not. Jesus did not come to this earth to set up a partnership, a democracy. No, he is the king of a kingdom, which means there is only one top spot and Jesus is seated on that throne. That position is taken. He is in charge. So that is bad news because we all like to be king. We all like to be queen. We all like to be in charge of our own lives. Very naturally, we all resist authority. We all resist being told what to do. We listen to people so often that just agree with us. We do not like to be told. I do not like to be told. So the birth of a king is bad news because it means I can't be king anymore. And all this demands a response. Let me just take you to a couple of verses in the Bible that will just help us to think about this. The first one is one we've already seen. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then Micah 5, 4 and 5. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Now, two things I want you to notice from these two couple of verses. Two things about this king, King Jesus. Babies are weak and vulnerable and helpless in many ways. And Jesus was all those things, but Jesus was still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please notice from the Isaiah verse that the government is on his shoulders. A few weeks ago now, we had a general election. We woke up to one of the parties, the Conservative Party, had a landslide victory. They now rule for 5 years. In 5 years' time, the country's colour will probably change again. But the news report that this baby is king is a news report that secures a kingdom and a rule forever and ever and ever. Isaiah said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be what? Just 5 years? No, there will be no end. This king, Jesus, will reign on David's throne just for another 5 years? No, from that time on and forever. Notice something else from these verses that's quite remarkable. So Jesus' reign and rule lasts forever and ever and ever. Notice something about the scope of his rule. So after the general election, for those of you who follow these sort of things, you would see a map of the country. And the country's map was a particular colour. What is the colour of the world? Well, in Micah, it said about the Lord's reign and rule that it will reach to the ends of the earth. So the earth, the universe, is the colour of heaven. This is the news report. The kingdom of Jesus lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. We've seen this illustration before, but it's a great one, so we're going to use it again. Here I have some wool, and can you see that? You probably can't. There's a piece of masking tape. It's tiny. That represents your life, okay? And the reign of Jesus, this is what Jesus' reign's like. When I can get it round off the mic, there we go. Jesus' reign goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So that's your life. Can you see that piece of masking tape? And this is how long Jesus' reign is going to last for. Forever and ever. We could get someone to just get that bit of string, that piece of wool, and just keep running out of the back door and running and running and running. Because it just goes on and on and on for eternity. That's Jesus' reign. It's his rule. There is no end to it. Are you getting the point? Can you see how short your life on earth is in comparison to the rule and reign of Jesus? There will be no end. The scope is eternal. The geography is there is no place where he does not rule or reign. So we have some options how we're going to respond to this good news, bad news report. Option one is to resist the inevitable. It is to refuse to recognize him as king, which means you get to remain as king for a short amount of time. And you will face him as your judge. That is not a fight you're going to win. After your physical death, you will stand before the judge of all things. He will know everything about your rebellion, and you will be cast out of his kingdom. But if he reigns everywhere, where will you be cast to? To a place where he still reigns, that's devoid of any of his grace. You'll go to a place that the Bible describes as a fire, as outer darkness, a place of judgment, a place of God's eternal wrath. That's option one, how to respond to this news. Option two, right now, you have the opportunity, if you have not done so before, or to affirm now, believe he is the eternal king. Believe that. Say you are sorry for not living your life his way. So that is to admit that I have been living my life in a way that is not his way, which is wrong. My way is the wrong way. It doesn't recognize that he is on the eternal throne. So admit he's the king, admit I've got it wrong, and ask for forgiveness. To be changed, for him to come and give you his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to change your attitudes and ambitions and desires. Thank him for dying for you on a cross, taking your hell in your place. Then start with his help to follow his kingdom's values. What is the result of option one, the rejecting his rule, of going my own way? The result is death, separation, pain, misery, brokenness. The result of option two, life, wholeness, security, hope, peace, contentment, joy. Living a life for the King in glad surrender. Friends, this morning, what it takes, if you haven't done already, is for you to take the little white flag of surrender. Surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give up running from him and turning to him. And when you do that, you will find nothing but welcome, nothing but embrace and love. The peace that passes all understanding. What a wonderful Savior we have who takes rebels, who takes God-haters, and takes them as his treasured possession. Let's bow our heads and let's pray at this point in the service. Father, the message is very, very simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is something that the smallest child can grasp, right through to the oldest person in our church. Father, please would you work your grace into people's hearts and lives, even this Christmas time, and would each and every one of us come to understand what it means for you to be king? Would we all bow the knee to King Jesus, turn from our way of wrecking our lives and turn to his way of living a life of true contentment and joy? Please come to our aid. Please transform us for your fame and glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.